Corinthians, if you would, chapter number 1, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. I pray that we never get over what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, the amazement of what He did coming from a perfect realm down to sinful earth, to sinful man, and became a man for us and died on the cross so He could save us. What a God, what a Savior. What a Savior. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. If you found your place, if you would, say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, the last two services, Wednesday night. We typically are on the home dealing with that subject, and we got a few more weeks to go on it before I do something else. But I begin to study in the book of Colossians and praying about preaching through that on Wednesdays and teaching through it after we get done with the home. But man, I was overwhelmed when I was studying through some of that about God's grace and mercy towards us. And I tell you what, Sister Lisa said it a second ago about how God will show you things that you've read over and over again. And it amazes me, God's timing, that you read exactly what you need right when you read it. Amen? And God's been doing that for me, and it's the same thing with this message this morning, that there's sometimes, as a preacher, you're praying, asking God what to give the church, but every message I preach, I get it all week long before y'all get it. Amen? And you might say, well, Brother Andrew, that message was a little bit harder. Well, imagine how hard it was all week long on me. Amen? I mean, I'm sinful flesh too, and God's got to deal with my heart. And this message is no exception as far as what I needed and what God did for me. And so I'd like to just share that with you this morning for a few moments. It's a simple message, and the subject I'm preaching about, I've preached on several times before. And I'm sure you've heard messages on it if you've been in church any length of time. But it is a subject that I believe should be an encouragement to you. And I believe just about everybody, if not everybody in here, could be affected by this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He started out a lot of his books by telling you who he was and how he was who he was. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached on those, but in the book of Colossians, he says the same thing to the church at Colossae, grace and peace. And it's interesting to me, I was talking to Brother Steve even about this, that God would have Paul write this, that he could just bestow grace and peace on somebody. But you know what? Sometimes we're going through life, and there just doesn't seem like there's a lot of grace and peace, and I'm thankful that somebody else could be praying for grace and peace on my behalf. But sometimes you just don't feel like you can get that prayer through. Amen. Sometimes you're going through things, but that's why we ought to pray one for another. And that's a good prayer to pray for each other. In verse number 3, he said, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now, Paul is writing here his second letter, second epistle to the church at Corinth. In the first he wrote to them, Paul had to deal with a lot of problems. He dealt with multiple problems in the church. There was some sexual sins going on in the church. They weren't even having church right.
When they met together to have church and have the Lord's Supper and do different things, man, the church at Corinth was making a lot of mistakes on this thing of serving God. There was a lot of sin in the church, and there were things that Paul had to deal with, and it was a hard letter, and the subjects he had to deal with were very, very serious. But he dealt with them, and thank God for preachers like Paul that'll deal with the problems even when it's not popular. But Paul did that. He dealt with these things. I mean, he even dealt with them taking up their money and the offerings and the missions money. He dealt with all those things. And in the second letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth is what we just read here, the opening words to this letter. He starts off with a lot of encouraging words. You know why? Because we find out as we go through here that they obeyed Paul. And they did what he said. And we find out that even some of the people that had to be put out of the church ended up being allowed to come back into the church. That's a good thing. Our goal is not to put people out of church, it's to reconcile them back to God. But sometimes if they're not willing to do right and abide by the word of God, they've got to be put out. And it's for their learning, it's for their shame, and it's so they realize what they did, and we pray for them and pray they come running back to God and want to get right with God. But Paul starts off this letter with some very encouraging words. And wouldn't it be disappointing if Paul wrote this book of 1 Corinthians with all these things they were doing wrong? And then he started off his next letter to them and just picked right back up where he left off. That'd be discouraging, would it not? I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you got bad news and then the bad news just doesn't stop coming? I mean, it just keeps coming. I mean, there's some people sitting there right now say, well, that's me right now. But the good news is that it doesn't have to stay that way if you're a child of God. And Paul's trying to tell them that here in these verses. And he starts off with these verses, grace and peace. And verse number 3, blessed be God. Why should we bless God? Hey, because he's worthy of all the blessings we could give him. He's God the Father. He's the creator of the universe. And he deserves all the praise that we can give him. Blessed be God. The Bible even tells us here, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he is the Father, amen? You believe that this morning? But not only that, it says he's the Father of mercies. Why should we bless God? Because he's a merciful God. Because the fact that you're sitting in church this morning with a Bible in your lap and in your right mind, he's the Father of all mercies. Amen. Blessed be God. You know why when you come into church, you ought to open that hymn book that are songs about him, and you better lift up your voice because we're blessing his holy name for who he is. The songs are not organized and they're not written to magnify man or to get your foot tapping. They're to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done and who he is. You see, because when we start talking about blessing God, and I think about worship, you realize this morning that prayer and praise and worship are all different things. A person needs to ask, that's requesting something from God. Praising him is when you thank him for something that he's done for you. That's what praise is. We begin to praise his holy name for all his marvelous works, the Bible tells us. But worship is when you begin to bless his holy name for who he is. Not just for what he can do for you, but for who he is. He's holy. Amen? And I'm not going to preach on that subject this morning, but Paul starts off this letter to the church at Corinth with some pretty encouraging words. Blessing God for who he is. Because not only is he the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and he's the Father of mercies, but he's the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. You will not find comfort outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and outside of this book. And I want to preach on that thought this morning of comfort. Of comfort. Paul deals with this subject of suffering and comfort. He knows that the church at Corinth has been through a lot of things. He knows that they've struggled. And matter of fact, when he wrote to them, he's talking about some suffering saints at Jerusalem and how they're sharing one another's burdens, and he's talking about all these suffering things. The word comfort is mentioned 66 times in the King James Bible, and you might not think that's special, but I do. There are 66 books in the Bible, and there's a comfort for every book. Amen. We can find comfort through the Lord Jesus Christ on every single page of our Bible. So, hey, there's some that are pretty gloomy. Yeah, but man, when they turn to Christ, there's comfort and peace. And there's comfort can be found on every page. The word comforted is found 36 times. The word comforteth is found 5 times in the Bible. That word comfort means to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, to strengthen the mind when depressed or enfeebled, to console, to give new vigor to the spirit, to cheer, to relieve from depression or trouble, support, consolation under calamity, distress or danger, a state of physical ease. You know what Paul knew that the church at Corinth needed to start off this letter? He needed to know that they can find comfort, and it came from God. And I want to encourage our church this morning, and God laid this on my heart to preach today, and I believe he helped me with it, is that we need some comfort. People are stressed out, and they need some ease of mind. There's trouble on every hand. Paul doesn't start off with this passage saying God's going to take away all your problems. He doesn't start off the passage with saying you won't have any more problems. He just wants to let you know that God is the God of all comfort. Not that the problems will go away, but that he will help you with whatever you're going through. And I believe this morning that we need to be reminded of the strength that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the comfort that we can have through him. We're living in some troubled times. The world is in turmoil all around us, but God's people are stressed out. If you were to ask the average Christian and take a survey of all the, even Bible-believing Christians all over the country, you'd be amazed to find out how many are on antidepressants. You'd be amazed to find out how many have to take medication for the stress that they're under, the stress of the mind. They just can't handle it. You said, are you preaching against medicine this morning? No, but I am preaching that we ought to trust God above everything. You said, does God give wisdom to some people to do that? That's between you and God. I don't know. But sometimes I wonder if people know the same God that I do. I wonder if they know the same creator that I do. He talks about comfort. And I tell you what, church, this morning what we need is to realize the comfort that we have and that's found in Jesus Christ. Why do we carry the burdens we carry when we could just give them to him, the God of all comfort? And I want to ask this question this morning. You don't have to answer it, but answer it in your heart. Do you need some comforting this morning? And I'm not just talking about after the death of a loved one or after a tragedy. But we got people that are living every day. They're getting up on Monday and they're stressed out. They find no rest. They find no joy. It's the pressures of life that come upon them. And Paul got done dealing with some very heavy subjects in 1 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, he's starting off telling them that God is the God of all comfort, and that he can help them through what they're going through. So I want to look at this thought of comfort this morning for a few minutes and give you a few things. Number one, first of all, I'd like to see the supplier of the comfort. The supplier of the comfort. And the supplier of the comfort here is found in verse number 3 at the very end of the verse. And it says, the government with a welfare check. No. The education system. No. Visa, definitely not. No, the source of our comfort. Oh, well, wait a minute, Brother Andrew. The source of our coping, the source of our comfort must be entertainment. Because when I'm stressed out, I just pull up my recliner and get my drink and turn on the programmer called the television. said, this is supposed to be a comforting message. What's the source of your comfort? What's your getaway when you get stressed? Where does your stress relief? Is God the source of your comfort? Amen. He ought to be. He ought to be. The Bible says here in verse number 3, the supplier of our comfort is God, the God of all comfort. Hold your place here. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, but hold your place there. We'll be back in just a moment. John chapter number 14, the supplier of the comfort I find is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, people are trying to find comfort in everything. They try to find it in a bottle. They try to find it in a needle. They try to find it in a cigarette. They try to find it in dope. They try to find it in all kinds of things just to get some sleep. Just to get a little bit. I read the definition of comfort. The ease of mind, the ease of stress. And I'm telling you this morning, the source of all comfort is God Almighty. It's not those other things. Matter of fact, those other things may bring temporary relief, but it's always followed by more stress. If you go to substance to find relief, you might have relief for a second, but then all of a sudden now you have financial problems to go on top of whatever else you were stressed about. Now you have physical problems to go on top of whatever it was that stressed you out. There's people that do all kinds of things to find comfort. I find here in John chapter 14, verse number 16, and we're going to stay here for a second also. John chapter 14 and verse number 16, the Bible said, verily, verily, that's chapter 13, chapter 14, verse number 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. The first comforter was the fact that Christ was there with them. Another comforter that he may be able to, that he may abide with you forever. You know what I'm telling you this morning, church? That God is the supplier of our comfort. You say, Brother Andrew, this is simple. I mean, we know this. We're saved. We're God's people. Yeah, but why do we struggle with finding comfort? Why do we struggle with the source, the supplier of our comfort? As a child of God, he ought to be the first one we run to. Not the internet. Not Google, not the doctor, and God may give wisdom towards one of those directions. God may send you to a doctor. He may send you to somebody that can help you. We're going to read about that in just a moment. But God ought to be the source of the comfort. He ought to be the guidance behind the comfort. The Bible said in Psalm 71, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 71, 19 through 21, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. You know what David said? I'm going through trouble, but God, you're going to comfort me 360 degrees. I can have comfort. You know, you can go to bed in 2022 and sleep all night. Oh, I know that that's hard for some people to believe. Amen. But you can do it. Why? The God of all comfort. If you don't, you're just refusing to let him have whatever it is that's keeping you up. And that's much easier said than done. It is. There's times I've laid there and I'm thinking about people in the church, or I'm thinking about situations, my own job and different things, and all of a sudden the Lord's like, hey, dummy, give it to me and go to sleep. Man, that's a great idea. Lord, I can't do anything about it anyway, and you're the God, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why am I trying to figure this out? I'll pray for him and give it to you. The God of all comfort. Not only that, but I find in our verse, it says the God of all comfort. So not only is the supplier of the comfort is God, but the source, how he gives us that comfort, we find here in John chapter 14. Look with me again in verse number 17, John 14, verse number 17. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom all the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. God is the supplier of the comfort, and the source of your comfort is the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved in here today, you are tapped into the source. Whether or not you use it is up to you. There's people today that they're trying to find comfort, but they can't. They have no resource for comfort. They've never been born again. They've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in their heart and save them. The Holy Spirit never moved in. He is the God of all comfort. The Spirit's the one that comforts, and they have no comfort. You know what's sad is there's people that are saved. They're going to heaven when they die, and the comfort is sitting right there beside them, and they're stressing out. They're bothered by every little thing. Every little bit of news that comes by just rattles their cage. And the Holy Spirit's sitting there like, hey, this is why I'm here. I'm here so you don't have to go through this alone. I'm here so you don't have to suffer through this. And instead of giving it to God and relying on Him, we just say, we got to go take a pill or go get another drink or we got to go do this to try to get a little bit of sleep. And the Holy Spirit's sitting there the whole time like, I'm right here. God promised He wouldn't leave you comfortless. He wouldn't leave you comfortless. We find the source of that comfort is the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in the heart of the believer. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will instruct you. I don't know what to do. I'm nervous. Man, what do I do? I'm stressed out. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, will guide us and teach us. He's the source of our comfort. So here's an idea. I don't know what to do. Let me ask God and read His Word. Oh, but we have to go talk to the professionals. And we got to go talk to Dr. Phil. And we got to see what Oprah says. No. Why don't I just talk to God about it and read His Word? And let the Holy Spirit show me. He's never failed me on that. But you know what's amazing? God will provide time and time again, and then the next opportunity for Him to do that comes up, and we're frantic all over again. You say that's silly that we do that. Yeah, it was silly for the children of Israel too. When they were in the wilderness and they had to rely on God, and He rained down manna, and it came, it showed up, and then they turned right around. God fed them, and they said, now we're going to die of thirst. God gave them water. They didn't like that. Now we don't have enough protein. But we do the same thing. God delivered us last time. He'll do it again. Trying to help you this morning on comfort. The supplier of the comfort's God. The source of the comfort is the Holy Spirit of God. Not only do we find comfort in the Holy Spirit of God, but you know He gave us some more things to find comfort in? His Spirit lives inside of us, but He also gave us the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God brings comfort. The Bible says in Psalms 119:50, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It means to be made alive again. The Word of God is a source of comfort. Don't neglect your Bible when you should never neglect it, but especially when you're going through hard times, when you're going through difficult times. Do not neglect your Bible. It is a source of comfort. You say, how is that, Brother Andrew? How can it comfort me? I don't know, but man, I can imagine that there's some people that, you know, lose loved ones. They go through hard times, whatever it is, and they begin to think about, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I don't know about you, but that's a comforting passage to me. It's a comforting passage to me. Psalms 27:5, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. There's some comforting passages in the Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to and prepare a place for you. I will come again. Those are comforting passages in the Word of God. I'm thankful for my Bible. Man, I'm thankful that God, He sent us the Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful for it. The Holy Spirit sealed us unto the day of redemption. He saved us. And I love my Bible, man. I'm thankful for my Bible. I'm thankful that I got something I could go home, and whenever there's nobody around and I've got something heavy on my heart, I could just open my Bible and I can begin to read, and the Holy Spirit will take those words and say, I got this. The God of all comfort, the Holy Spirit of God will comfort us. There's a lot of comforting passages in the Scripture. Not only the Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit, but I tell you what, it's a comfort to know that I'm saved. It's a comfort to know that I'm not going to hell. There's a song that we sing. Me and Emma were singing at the top of our lungs coming to church today. I'm not going to hell. I'm at the Savior. Amen. I'm not going to hell. David said in Psalms 40, verse 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry, and He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. When I was 9 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I don't care how bad it gets, this is as bad as it gets for me. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't care how bad the world falls apart, and it will. I'm going to heaven. Man, I can take comfort in the fact that I know that I'm saved. You're in here today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't have that comfort. This is as good as it gets. Brother Andrew, it's ugly. It's dark out there. Oh, it's dark. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about wickedness. It's dark, Brother Andrew. Enjoy it, because this is as bright as it'll be for you. But Brother Bonds, heaven's my home. I know that, and I can take comfort in that. When you start thinking about eternity, the little things in our life are just not quite as big anymore. I mean, we stress over little things. I mean, little things. You know, if you really want something to bother you, it ought to bother us whether or not our family's going to heaven. It ought to bother us what our relationship is towards Christ, not whether something's wrong with the house or the car. All those things happen. I'm thankful for my salvation. Do you remember the day you got saved? I'll never forget that day. The sources of comfort. Aren't you glad that God gives us all these opportunities to be comforted? I'm thankful for the sanctuary. There's days where, man, I'm the pastor and I don't feel like coming. Why? Just the cares of life. But I walk in here and I hear you singing and I see these kids up here and I'm telling you, I get some comfort. Those problems will still be out there. They'll be out there waiting on us. But I come in the sanctuary and I see God's people and I get to hear preaching and singing and teaching and see these kids. These kids, man, I tell you what, I love seeing them up here singing the B-I-B-L-E, and it brings some comfort to me. I thank God for the sanctuary. I thank God for the songs that we can sing. We sing good almost every Sunday. Say almost. There's a few that could do better. We come in here to magnify Christ. I asked Brother Carl to sit up here for a reason. It's because I didn't know if I'd have a voice. But there's songs, and you sing along with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Isn't that comforting? I once was lost, hey, that's comforting. But now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Snake.
Comforting.
Amen.
That's comforting. These songs that God has given us is comforting.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wondered how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
David, over and over and over again in Scripture, there's not time to go to any of the verses, but he talked about the song that was in his heart. Man, I tell you what, I've been going down the road, not in church, going down the road with the burdens and cares of life on my heart and mind, and a song will come to mind, to my heart.
Man.
And I begin to sing, and man, the comfort that overwhelms. I thank God for his comfort. Not only do we find here in our passage the supplier of the comfort and the source of the comfort. I'm going to finish up. I know what time it is. But I'd like to look at the season of the comfort. Go back with me real quick. The season of comfort. And I've got good news about this season of comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says here, once you find your place again, say amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. You know what the season of comfort is this morning? Open 24/7. I don't have to call and be put on hold. I don't have to wait till during business hours. He is supplying comfort 24/7. It don't matter what you go through. It don't matter what trial. It doesn't matter what tribulation. He is the God of all comfort, and he comforteth you in all your tribulation. It doesn't matter how small. It doesn't matter how big. He's going to comfort you if you'll let him. I'm thankful that there's seasons in our life where we don't have to have comfort. Yeah, well, things are going good. Everything's great. Money's in the bank. Man, everybody's feeling well. Hey, things are going wonderful. How you doing? Man, we're doing great. Just wait till tomorrow. And I'm here to tell you that God is there to comfort you in all your tribulation. It doesn't matter how big or how small. These kids in here, they go through things that are big to them. And when they come to you, mom and dad, you don't need to shoo them off. You need to listen to them, and you need to tell them there's a big God that can help them with their little problem. It might not mean nothing to you. Amen? You go run to them. They run to you, and their whole life is just a mess over something. You need to let them know that God will comfort them and help them and give them peace. Amen? Sometimes adults go running to other people with what they think is huge problems, and I'm like, that's it? I'm not minimizing it, but that's what you're so upset about? Man, God's got this. Amen? The season of comfort. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm not going to go there. I'm running out of time, but it's in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God told them, he told them that in all their tribulation, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, and we're there, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, it shall be obedient to his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto thee. God will be a comfort to you in tribulation. In Hebrews chapter 13, you know the verse where he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
all our tribulation. I don't care what it is. Not only do we see the season of comfort in our verse here, but I'm finishing up. I see the sharing of the comfort. In verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I want to tell you right now, church, there's people in this church that need comfort. But you know what's sad? I'm afraid that they wouldn't be able to get comfort from some of us. That we couldn't comfort one another. You say, why is that? Because if I came to you with some things that I need prayer about, all you're going to do is unload on me all the things that's wrong with you. We all have problems. Right? But we need to be able to pray one for another. And if somebody comes up to you and shares a burden with you and they're asking for prayer, that is not the time to share all yours. That's for you to say, hey, God's got this. Let's pray about it. Your time will come to share your burden. I've said this before. I'll say it again, that there's some people you'll never know in 1,000 years what's wrong with them. They come in. They can put on the face. They can go through church. And you'll never know that anything's bothering them. You'll never know. They'll never tell you. And that's just who they are. And that's fine. As long as they're getting with God and they got a release with Him. Right? And then there's others that they can't wait for something to happen so they can tell everybody. There's two different types of people. But regardless of which one you are, you need to be able to get to a point in your Christian life where you can help others with what you've gone through. If you don't, you're not being a very good Christian towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. Somebody's going through something. You don't need to go up and pry in everything that's going on, but it wouldn't hurt for you to go up and say, I'm praying for you. And then if they decide to share with you, you never know. They may begin to share with you, and you can say, let me tell you about when I went through something and what God did for me. The comfort by which we are comforted. My wife and I had to bury the baby a couple years ago. Everybody said they were praying, and we were very thankful for it, but there was a few ladies that pulled her aside and said, hey, let me tell you what God did for me during those times when I had to do the same thing. And they were a great encouragement to her. Why? They've been through it. There's some things that I've never been through, and I can pray for you, and I will. But there's some folks in here, you've been through some things, and you've seen God's mercy, and you've seen His comfort. And you need to step up and pray for others that are going through the same thing and be an encouragement to them. Comfort with the comfort that you were given. Tell them, hey, I've been there. I've gone through these trials, and I'm telling you, God is faithful. The sharing of the comfort. You may have experienced some things in this life just so you could help somebody else later. The last thing, I find the suffering so that we can have comfort. Verse number 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived as a man, was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He took beatings. He took scourging. He took heartbreak. He took His family turning their back on Him. It took His family turning their back on Him. He went through all that willingly so that He could comfort you with whatever you go through. There was times He didn't have a place to sleep. There were times His very best friends that were around Him betrayed Him. He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was cussed at. We live in this old stinking world. You're going to get cussed at sometimes. People are going to say things about you. They're going to say mean things about you. All that happened to Jesus Christ. He suffered all that so that He could say, I know what you're going through, and mean it. Jesus Christ suffered through all that so that He could be the God of all comfort. Would any of you, now listen, you might do it for some of your family, I don't even know then. But would any of y'all willingly go through all that just so you could help one person? I'd probably say that we wouldn't be willing to go through everything that Christ went through to do that. But Jesus Christ did so that He could send the Holy Spirit down to say, Miles, I know what you're going through.
The Bible tells us that he went through all these sufferings and he went through all these things. Everybody turning their back on him. Their family turning their back on him. And he did all that for you and I. The Bible said in Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Miss Sarah, you come to the piano and start playing something. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 very quickly. Church, I started off the message today asking, do you need some comfort this morning? Do you need comfort? She's going to start playing. I'm going to read these verses. The altars are open. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 16. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 16, the Bible said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Church, I want to ask you this morning, do you need some comfort? I don't know what I know what some of y'all are going through, and I'm telling you right now, you need some comfort from God. What about it this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, if God spoke to your heart, maybe this morning you need to come tap into the comfort source. Maybe some need to apologize to God for not trusting him. I don't know what it is tonight. Maybe this message was for me. There's some that are coming. But listen, the God of all comfort, I'm thankful for the comfort that we find in him. I'm thankful I'm not going to hell. I'm thankful I'm saved. Thankful for the Holy Spirit. Thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the songs. Maybe this morning it's not that you need to come talk to God about the comfort aspect, but maybe it's that you need to come down and bless the holy name of the Lord. We started off with blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Whether you do it down here or standing there, you need to bless his holy name this morning for who he is. Remain with their head bowed and their eyes closed. There's several that have come. If you need to talk to the Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And I know I've preached to everybody in this room multiple times. Only you and God know whether or not you're saved. If you're not saved, you can't know that comfort. Have that blessed assurance this morning.
This is my song. praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Isn't the Lord Jesus Christ wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. I don't deserve comfort. I don't deserve His goodness. He's so wonderful and lovely. I appreciate everything He's done for me. Amen.